On, am I on? Power, well done. Where you at? Is that you? All right. When Domino's comes on up to deliver the pizza, I know it's time to set her down. All right, amen. I was waiting for Brother Teft and Brother Higgins to get up and walk out with the club, but anyway, so I'm glad they stayed. That helps me feel good, amen. Well, it's good to be in Minnesota, and there's snow on the ground. Wow, in North Carolina, we pray for snow because that shuts down the whole state. And if we hear snow's coming in Kentucky, we shut down for a while. So it is all good. And I'm assuming you've had a mild winter. I don't want to bring in a lot of snow in the next day or two. But it is a joy and an honor to be here. And I remember Brother Sean from college and hated we kicked him out. But I remember him from there. But I appreciate Pastor the opportunity, and I mean this. And I'm honored to be here and to share the platform with my good friend, Pastor Teft and Pastor Higgins. It's an honor and a joy. And I'm looking forward to these next few days. I don't know how many young people are in here that will be in the revival, but we're going to have a good time. And hope you come ready to enjoy yourself. You may not get a lot of Bible, but we'll have fun, okay? Genesis chapter 1, let's start there. We're going to go through Revelation. We've got a few moments here. All right, here we go. Genesis chapter 1. I was watching live stream back of the house because with the time change, and I appreciate Brother Coca Boone is one of the assistant pastors there and did a great job preaching, and I don't know if you do that. I get so nervous. Man, you're away, and I'm thinking, nobody's going to show up to church. Then you got to look, and I'm telling the cameraman, turn that camera around. I want to see who's there and who's not. My wife didn't go. But anyway, Genesis chapter 1, here we go. If you're there, say amen. If you're not, it's at the beginning, okay? And here we go. We won't be long, I promise you that. There's a basketball game Friday night. Are you playing? All right. I'm excited about this. Y'all play? It's in prayer. Okay. You play? All right. Brother Pat, you playing? Okay, nice, nice. I'm trying to build my team. I'm looking at all the tall guys. You have the tallest people in any church I've ever been at, man. Our church are like, you know, we ain't ramping his hand. And y'all are like, this is a basketball church right here. Amen. Genesis 1:1. Let's get God in this. I'm nervous, but now I'm feeling better. Here we go. In the beginning, help me, God created the heaven and the earth. And may I say, he did a wonderful job. And God saw, look at verse 4, and God saw the light that it was, help me, good. Drop down to verse number 10, the last line in verse 10. And God saw that it was what? Good. Verse 18, the last line of verse number 18. And God saw that it was good. Verse 21, the last line. And God saw that it was good. Yeah, you're catching on. And verse 25, the last line there, and God saw that it was good. And then in verse 31, a little bit different, and God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight asking for your touch and for your help. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the faithfulness throughout the years. And Lord, I do not take this opportunity lightly. And Lord, I've asked you many times today, and I'll ask one more time, I need your help. And if I try to do this on my own, I'll fail. In these next few moments, I know some folks just got off work, and they rushed to get to the house of God. Lord, I pray that you bless them. There's been folks working all day at a job, teaching, wherever they've been, but they're tired, and they need some help spiritually. Lord, would you help us as we look into the Word of God to leave this place corrected, convicted, encouraged, loved, comforted, whatever you have for us. And God, I pray that you bless. Be with Jenny and the family back at the house, and I sure do love you. And bless the remainder of these next few days now. May it all bring honor and glory to you. In your precious holy name I pray. Amen. I love the phrase there you see in Scripture, and God said that it was good. God made everything. Everything he made with his voice except one, and we'll look at that in just a second. But every time he made something, he stepped back and he said, that's good. And you can't blame him. He's God, so it's perfect. And God said, man, that was good. Then the next day he made something else, and that's pretty good. And then he finished with man, and he said, that's very good. First time God said it was not good was when he said that it's not good that man should be alone, so I'm going to make him a helpmeet. He put him to sleep, and he woke up with a wife. So don't doze off in church. I want to say by way of introduction, in the beginning, God, what a creator. I thank God, and I want to say, of course, in our day and age, they're teaching every kind of mess there is out there, and every politician, unfortunately, even some clergy, are teaching things that are anti-Bible, but it all started with God, and it will all end with God. What a creator. You can't walk around too long without looking up and saying, God, you're good. I love where I live. I love my part of the country, but every place I go, when we landed here today, I was telling Brother Sean, said, I love just driving through cities. I love mountains. I love big cities. I love little cities. I love riding around just seeing what God did. God did this, and God did good. I love the Bible says that he created the heaven and the earth. Not only what a creator, but what a creation. Psalms 8:1 reminds us, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. When I consider thy heaven, the work of thy fingers. Boy, we got a big God. Every now and then when you feel like we're defeated, or if you watch too much of the news, you'll get discouraged. I tell our people, I watch enough just to make sure I live through the night and just be informed what's going on, of course. But I'm going to tell you, God's in charge. He'll take care of this whole mess. Amen. But if you watch too much, you'll get discouraged. I don't care what you watch, Fox, CNN, it don't matter. You wake up in the morning, they'll say, good morning. This could be the last day. Gloom and doom. You better go get all the stocks and that you can, because they're going down or they're going up. It's over. And we all go to work biting our nails and we're wondering, man, it's the end times. And then you come back at night and they're like, oh, you made it. You may not make it through the night. And then we pray those prayers with our children. Now I lay me down to sleep. If I should die before I wake, really? You want to pray that with your kid? And, you know, it's gloom and doom. I'm telling you, read enough to know what's going on, be informed, but always go back to God. Amen. God's the one that started it. God's the one that will sustain it. And I want to say also by way of introduction where the Bible says, the Lord God formed man. Not only what a creator and what a creation, but what a connection. Everything that God made except man, he made with his voice. He said, let there be light. There was light. Let there be the firmament. It was there. Everything. But when it came to man, now, God could have said, let there be man, and man would have appeared, okay? There's no handbook on how to be a God. Well, the Mormons have one, but it's not real. But there's no handbook on how to be a God. God made man different from any other creation. He came down, and you know, as you read the scripture, the Bible says, with his hands, he formed man out of the dust of the earth. Formed him just like he wanted him. And then the Bible says he breathe into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. How would you like to wake up with God in your face? First CPR. I like this. I need to get this at my church. I like the moving space. And first CPR, God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Adam woke up. I was preaching on Adam and Eve one time and had a lady come up to me after service and rebuked me a little bit, and she said, I don't like Adam. I said, well, take that up with him. I'm not Adam. And I said, why? She said, well, he didn't do well with his boys. And I said, okay, but can you cut him a little bit of slack? I'm able to. I have three sons. They're demon-possessed, but they're mine. And I love them. But I have three sons. I've always been able to say, hey, Scotty, I know what it's like to be a boy. I know what it's like to be a teenager. I know what it's like to be a young man. Hey, Philip, I know what it's like. You know, Adam could never say that. Adam can never say, son, I know what it's like to be a teenager. No, you don't. You woke up as a man. You don't know what I'm going through. And, I mean, they could literally say that. What a connection. God made man with his touch, and God made man with his breath. I want to say every time God touches you and every time God breathes on you, we need to move. We need to obey. Every part of creation obeys God's voice but man. God told some ravens, go feed that preacher, and they did it. God told a whale as an Uber, go pick up that backslidden preacher, and he did it. And I'm going to tell you, when God tells us, we ought to move. But especially if God ever touches your heart or ever breathes on you, that's a good time to move. He made everything, and he kept saying, that's good. That's good. That's very good. I want to preach tonight for the next few moments on this subject, keeping the good thing good. We need to keep some good things good. If you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. When your kids are real little and you take your time, boy, you're going to make that first Christmas the best, and you give them those gifts and then they destroy them. And you're thinking all the planning, all the money, all the preparation. Now, when they were super little and they're playing with the bows and the wrappers and not the gifts, amen, I was very frugal. I told Jenny, pack it up. They get it next year. They don't know the difference, amen. Next year, I already got Christmas bought. Praise the Lord. I believe in Santa Claus now. I pay his credit card bill. But anyway, but you know, I know what it's like to see it tore up. And I wonder how many things that God's given us that we don't keep good. Let your teenager start driving. Watch them before they pull out of the driveway finally for the first time, and you'll give them that list of rules. Don't you forget that seatbelt 10 and 2. Don't you text and drive. You drive like you got some sense, boy. That's my car. That insurance, that this. You know why? We want to keep it good. You buy that brand new car and you'll park a mile away. You know what I'm talking about? And then you back away from it. Just make sure there's nothing around it. And then you see that first scratch. You can see that a mile away. Now you're putting dents in it just to match the other side. Amen. But, you know, we need to keep it good. Let me give you some thoughts tonight if I can. Number one, do not mistake the goodness of God. Do not mistake the goodness of God. And I know on Wednesday night that you are the part of the church. I mean, I tell our people every week, I'm amazed that you come on Wednesday night. I mean, I bow, I applaud, I want your autograph. I mean, this is phenomenal because I love Wednesday night. I love a chance to teach the Bible. We're teaching through Daniel right now, and I love it. I love teaching the Bible. I love getting in it. But I'll tell you, as I said in the prayer, and I really mean this, some just got off work. Some have to work right after this or whatever the case is. I don't ever want us to mistake. It's God that gave us what we have. Isn't God good? Don't mistake it. James 1 says, every good and perfect gift cometh from above. And God's the one that gave us this. We live in a free country. I praise God for our country. It's messed up, and I know it is, but it's still the best one on the planet. Amen. We're the one everybody wants to come to. And I'm telling you, we ought to thank God for it. We ought to thank God for the freedoms we have and the churches we have and the Bible we have and the pastor you have and the wonderful opportunity to serve the Lord. Don't ever mistake the goodness of God. Man, just pulling up and seeing a place that says church makes me happy. Amen. Do not mistake God's goodness. As I read through Genesis 1, 2, and 3, I see some things that God gave us at the beginning. As you study the Word of God, the law of first mention, anytime something is mentioned for the first time, that's when you go back to it, and that's how you can start to study whatever it is that you want to study. There are some things that I don't want to mistake. One of those is a doctrine issue. All through chapter 1, you'll find three words, and God, help me, said. And then it says, and it was so. You know, if you ever want to know what does God say, this is where you find out right here. There's a lot of great books. I'm a reader. Oh, I love to read. And I've got a stack of books that I'm reading all the time, and I'm constantly trying to read from leadership or how to be a good dad or preacher or whatever, man. I want to read. But I'm telling you, nothing trumps that book right there. The best thing we can do, I like the doctrine issue, and God said. You know, there's things we can agree to disagree on, okay? I'm from the South, and I'm happy to be from North Carolina. We fry everything, like everything. Last week, I was preaching down in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'd taken all my sons with me. All my sons are grown, and my oldest one's married. I'm a grandpa, y'all. Check this out. My handle's Papa G. Oh, yeah. And so my grandson, he's only 8 months now. You know what he calls me? And that's about it. Sooner or later, something's going to come out, all right, that makes sense. But he hasn't learned it yet. My other two are 22 and 20. Anyway, but we all went together. And so we're down there. What was so funny about it, we pulled in a Chick-fil-A. Do you have a Chick-fil-A around here? Oh, isn't it good? Hey, remind me, I need to do something with Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is phenomenal. Well, we pulled in there to get some breakfast, and I'm not preaching, I'm telling the truth. As we pulled in, we were in a hurry. There was a chicken running across the parking lot of Chick-fil-A. I jumped out of the truck. I threw it in park. I mean, I just left the door open. I said, holler if somebody comes. I've got my camera, and I'm trying to video that stinking chicken running for its life. Now, we can agree to disagree on a lot of things. I think you ought to fry chicken. Catch a chicken and turn it over. God stamped on it, fry only. Okay? Now, I'm trying to be healthy, so it's grilling. But anyway, we fry ice cream. I mean, we fry everything, okay? We can agree, disagree on that. I like fried okra. I don't like boiled okra. Boiled okra is a sin. You're going to learn some doctrine tonight. And God said, boiled okra is like, that's boiled okra. That was a bit much. And that's bad, okay? We can agree to disagree on that, okay? If you don't like fried chicken, fine. If you don't like boiled okra, fine. If you like cats, and there'll be cats in heaven, don't worry. They got to have something to feed the animals. And, we'll agree. Boy, I hope I'm not making anybody mad. I love y'all. Group hug, here we go. And, but we can agree. But when it comes to fundamental doctrines, sorry. Nope. I was on a flight not too long ago, and there's a gentleman sitting next to me. He was not happy. Oh, my soul, he was having a bad day. I was sitting on the end, and I love the aisle seat, you know. Others, Lord, yes, others, as I run past everybody. But I love the aisle seat, and he's sitting by the window. And you try to howdy with people. Hey, how are you doing? And he just, he said, today's not a good day. And I thought, well, we're on the same flight. How bad is your day? You know what I'm saying? And are you running from the Lord? You need to get off this plane, take the next one, okay? But I tried to chat with him. He won't chat. And so we kept flying. I thought, oh, my soul, this is going to be fun. And so I was just studying for some stuff, and I opened up a briefcase, and I took out my Bible, and he looked over, you're kidding. I said, huh? He said, no, are you one of those? And I said, one of what? He said, one of those people. I said, what does those people mean? And he goes, don't play with me. And I said, you started the conversation. I didn't. And we got to going back for it. But by the end of the flight, I'd made a friend, and he even let me witness to him. He didn't get saved, but he did hear how. But you know what? The gospel's the gospel. I can't change it for a grouch. I can't change it for a preacher. I don't change it for a Baptist. I don't change it for a non-Baptist. It don't matter. And God said. And those are some things we need to stay with. And God said, don't mistake the goodness of God. He gave us the doctrine issue. He gave us the distinction issue. He said in chapter 127, male and female created he them. He gave us the dominion issue. He said in verse 26, let them have dominion. He gave us the domestic issue, chapter 3, where he said, and the desire shall be to thy husband. He told us how to have a home. He told us how to dress. Adam and Eve messed up, and they made aprons, and God came down and said, well, you tried, but that's not good enough. And he made coats of skin, and he clothed them. Oh, it all started back then. Don't mistake the goodness of God. And let me tell you where we get off track again, we get away from this. If we will just simply stay with this, we're fine. That's why I love being an independent Baptist. Your church will do things different. We won't do. We do things you wouldn't do. But you know what? As long as I'm following this, I'm good. I got to follow the book. Don't mistake it. Quickly, I want to say number two, don't mess with it. Don't mess with the goodness of God. What did God tell Adam when he put Adam in the garden? He said, it's your job to dress it and to keep it. He said, Adam, I've got a job for you. He said, I want you to go to work. And by the way, girls, that's what you do, okay? Whenever you're ready to date, about 35 years of age, when you're ready to date and find a man, the girls in our church know I preach doctrine number one. That boy needs to be saved. Now, there's a long list, but here's the top two. He needs to be saved. Everybody help me. What's he need to be? Okay, number two, he needs to have savings. Number one, he ought to be what? Number two, he needs what? Yeah, if he ain't got money, drop that joker. Praise God, dump it, man. If he ain't got money, unless you want to work three jobs. Everybody good? Don't mess with it. Where was I at? Oh, here we go. But he said, I want you to dress it. I want you to keep it. Before Eve ever showed up, Adam had a job. And he said, Adam, your job is to go to the garden. Your job, I'm coming down a couple times a day, and I want to see everything just like I made it. Take care of it. You can get something brand new, but if you do not maintain it, if you do not take care of it, we do not need to mess with the church of God. God's given us his church. I want to tell you, a lost person ought to walk in, know we're in church. They shouldn't come in and wonder, well, what are we in now? Well, what are we doing now? No, no, no. A one that's gotten away from God and it breaks our heart. But when they come back, they ought to know, man, I'm back in church. They ought to know. The faithful that come in all the time, they ought to know, praise God, we're back in God's house. Don't mess with the goodness of God. Don't mistake the goodness of God, and do not mess with the goodness of God. I always laugh with my wife, or at my wife, I'm trying to figure out. She has that cleaning disorder. Like, she can't stand, and thank God for it, huh? But she can't stand, I mean, we joke with her all the time, you know, as dust falls through the house, she's like, no, you know, she's diving and catching it. You go home, and if I come by the house or whatever, you just throw your coat down, you come back, and it's gone. It's like, where's my coat, babe? I'm leaving. And, I hung it up, and I've already washed it and cleaned it. It's like, stop doing that. And growing up, our home, rather, growing up with our three boys, they're not the cleanest men in the world. And they can tear up a house, and I love it. We get to fighting and wrestling and cutting up, and I mean, we'll destroy a living room. And Jenny knows, she'll walk in and go, I'll be back, tell me when you're done. She can't handle it. And we'll mess it up. But when we're done, I'm like, boys, we got to clean this mess up. Mama's coming back. And if Mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And if Mama's happy, then we have the right to be happy. Amen. So we'll try to fix it just right. But I don't care how detailed we think we've done it. Hey, Mama, look, it's good, isn't it? Mm-hmm. She's, uh-huh. And she's refolding things, and she's moving things like, what? All that work we did. Hey, don't mess with it. Church is too good to mess with. Christianity doesn't need to be messed with. The Word of God doesn't need to be messed with. But I want you to notice this as the main thought tonight. Do not miss the goodness of God. Church, we do not need to mistake God's goodness. We have so many things to be thankful for. I'm burdened tonight that as we have young people that'll grow up in a good church like this, and then when it comes to a certain time in life, all of a sudden we lose them and we wonder where they're at. Can I encourage you? Young person, don't mistake it. God has done this for you. God's given this to you. Just stay in. Enjoy it. And then while we're here, don't mess it up. Don't mess it up. Let's just sing the songs that glorify God. Let's preach the book that God gave us. Let's make sure we run church like God wants it, not how we run it. But don't miss it. Think about this. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, if you would, please. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 8. And the Lord God, chapter 2, verse 8, planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Verse 9, chapter 2. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, for the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. Wow. Can you imagine how perfect that garden was? If you ever driven by a home, and my wife and I will drive by, you know, just a huge home sometime and think, whew, I'll say, man, isn't that a beautiful home? How'd you like to live there? Her response is, how'd you like to have to clean it? Well, I ain't worried about cleaning. I'm just, it's impressive. God makes a garden. Every tree is pleasant to the eyes, good for food, is in this garden. It's massive. It's about the size of your town, if not larger. It's massive. Has a river that flows through it that waters everything. Every animal ever made was there. God comes down and is so kind as to say, Adam, you're in charge. Name them. And whatever name you call it, that's the name thereof. What you got, bud? Cow. Write it down. He said cow. What else you got? Horse. Write it down. Horse it is. Michael, write it down. What else you got? Aardvark. You got it. And Adam or Michael, write it down. Just God was so good to them. He walks in there, somehow Adam and Eve missed it. I don't know how you miss it. The most beautiful place in the world, it's perfect. Sin has not entered yet. I mean, they're enjoying life. The Bible says they were naked, we're not ashamed. Adam's working, there's no sweat coming on his brow. He's just working away and loving it. All of a sudden, don't worry, I won't break them. All of a sudden, there was one tree that instead of enjoying all the goodness of God, they looked at one and said, well, why can't we have that one? And whenever you and I focus on the one that we cannot have, we will always miss the goodness of God. So many people are focused on the one thing that God said, that's mine. Well, Achan said, well, what's wrong with a little bit? I'll tell you what's wrong, because God said no. Parents, have you ever looked at a child and said, well, just trust me? I said no. You'll understand. I used to hate that as a kid. Then I said it as a parent. It was a delight. And just trust me. Whenever we focus on the one thing that we cannot have, we will miss the goodness of God. I do not want to spend my life being ushered out of my garden. I do not want to spend my life being away from my God. I do not want to spend my life wondering, where is God in my life? I want to enjoy the goodness of God. He still had to dress and keep that tree like every other tree. He still had to do it, but he was not supposed to eat of it, and he was not supposed to partake of it. And if Adam, oh God, God bless him, but if he would have taught Eve that we don't deal with this one, that we want to stay away from that, I'll dress it and I'll keep it. God told me to do that, but we don't want to miss the goodness of God. I'm afraid that we've got young people that are not enjoying the goodness of God as we should, because mamas and daddies, we need to help them how to enjoy it. You want to talk about crazy stuff, man. Our church, when I candidated there almost 7 years ago, I'll never forget on that Sunday night. I preached that Sunday morning. That Sunday night gave me a stack of questions like that. And I told the deacons, I said, just give them to me. Don't read them. Don't rewrite them. Just hand them to me, and I'll answer all of them that night. Three quarters of them, they wanted to know, what shade of blue do you like? Duke blue or UNC blue? They didn't ask about the virgin birth. They didn't ask about, you know, salvation. I'm just kidding. They did ask those things. But, you know, but boy, there was this, and I still have all the questions in my office. But there's that, what shade of blue do you like? And I joked with them. I said, you know what? You tell me the vote, I'll tell you what shade of blue I like. Amen. I'm a good politician. But, you know, you talk about March Madness. It's North Carolina. They think they're the only teams out there. I mean, la-ti-da. And, man, when they play each other, there's just some things you don't deal with in church, amen? And you have a church split. But you know what? We'll get more excited about a basketball game. Everybody okay? We'll get more excited about a football game. Our young people get excited what we get excited about. I love church. I'm in church almost every night of my life. I love hearing people sing. I heard a song night, never heard before in my life. Love it. Now I got to learn it. I love the Bible. I love preaching. I love loud preaching. I love quiet preaching. I really love short preaching, and I know you do too, and I'm almost done. But I love it all. I love the things of God. Hey, let me tell you something. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. There's something about getting in God's house. And church, let's not mistake God did this. And let's not mess it up. I think the devil's the one that started business meetings. I think he had all the imps in hell, and he said, what can we do to mess up the church? And one little demon raised his hand and said, I make a motion. He said, that's it. We'll start a meeting. Everybody okay? Hey, let me tell you something. Let's not mistake it. Don't mess it up. And let's not miss it. The one thing you can't have, let's just say, nope, 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 nope. Hey, Eve, let's go take a walk on this side. Look how good God is. Hey, children, let's go look. Let's talk about how good God is. Let me tell you, the greatest times in our family is when we sit around the family altar. And even now, my daughter-in-law and our grandson, and we'll all sit there and I'll just say, hey, give me a God moment today. What did God do today to just show himself? Who'd you share Christ with? I'll tell you this and I'm done. It's bad when you're preaching and you get convicted. You know what I'm saying? Like preachers, we're supposed to tell people off, and, you know. I was preaching at the church one night, and I said, church, whenever the Holy Spirit of God tells you to do something, you do it. The next 7 days, I want you to come tell me, Pastor, Monday this happened, or Tuesday this happened. Whatever the Holy Spirit of God tells you to do, you do it. The next day, I'm at Food Lion. Y'all have Food Lions up here? Grocery store. My wife doesn't let me go shopping because I buy things she doesn't think we need. like double stuffed Oreos and Cap'n Crunch. I mean, I buy the necessities to help a family go. Well, so she won't let me go shopping. So to be in the store is unique for me because it doesn't happen. But I had stopped by Food Lion, had to run in and get something. As I'm walking, I just walked in the store and I'm walking down to go find that aisle of the things I'm looking for. And there's a man standing there and the Holy Spirit of God said, pray with him. And I thought, huh? And I'm telling you, he spoke my heart to pray with him. And I said, and starting to argue with the Lord, you know, like, Lord, I'm not in my clergy outfit. I don't have a suit and tie on, and you can't pray unless you're wearing a suit and tie, you know. And so I said, I just pray with him. And I walked past him. I was like, have you ever disobeyed the Lord and you feel horrible and horrible? I mean, the further I got away from that guy, the Holy Spirit's like, oh, you don't mind preaching it, but you ain't going to live it. Go pray with that man. And the further I got, I was like, oh. And then I got right on aisle 3, I think, and I asked the Lord to forgive me. I got right with God. And I said, I'm going to go pray with him. I go back. He's gone. No. So now I'm running through Food Lion, and I'm looking at every aisle. I'm trying to find this man. I see him, and I turn a corner, and I said, excuse me. He looked at me and said, yes, sir. I said, my name's Scott. He shook my hand. I said, sir, you're going to think I'm crazy. There ain't no doubt in my mind. But I'm a believer, and the Holy Spirit of God told me to pray with you. Is there anything you need me to pray for? He starts weeping. He looked at me, and he said, sir, I don't even know what I'm doing in this store. And he began to share with me everything that was going on in his world. And I said, well, I'll be honest with you. I don't know what I'm doing in this store either, but running down aisles trying to find you. I said, do you want to go outside and have a seat? We got to go out in front of the store. We sat on a bench in front of the Food Lion there. And he just shared with me his heart. And I told him, I said, right now I don't have all the answers for you, but I do have the main answer that you need, and that's Christ. I was able to take the Word of God, and my phone actually, because I didn't have my Bible with me, and I took out the Bible app, and I showed him through the verses about being saved, and he bowed his head and trusted Christ as a Savior. Church, I want to tell you, whenever God tells you to do something, I'd probably do it. Don't mistake God's goodness. Don't mess with it, and don't miss it. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for tonight. And God, I thank you for the opportunity to be in your house and with your people. Lord, I pray, this is a wonderful ministry, wonderful reputation, wonderful a place where souls are saved, and unbelievable what you've done here. But Lord, I don't want to just be a believer that it's one that talks about the past. God, I want to be one that's in the middle of it now. Holy Spirit of God, would you help us tonight not to miss the goodness of God? Thank you for your word. Thank you for your work. And God, I pray that you'll help us to dress and keep it and just continue so that one day we could hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anyone here tonight that would say, Pastor, I don't know everyone here, so I can't step down without asking, is there anyone here that does not know Christ as your personal Savior? You would say, I don't know for sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I know I don't want to go to hell, and I'd like for you to pray for me. Would you very quietly slip up your hand and put it right back down? I wouldn't embarrass you, but I do want to pray for you. You're not for sure that heaven's your home. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, are you missing the goodness of God? When is the last time you just took a piece of paper and a pen and just sat there and wrote down all the things that God's done for you? When's the last time in your prayer time you just said, Lord, I'm just going to praise you right now and take 5-10 minutes and just praise God? Oh, I beg you, don't miss it. God's been so good to us. Father, once again, we thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, continue to bless this church in the days ahead. In your precious holy name, I pray.